This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
eBay does not endorse any specific candidates or political parties. We really focus on policy issues rather than politics as a company. But like most companies, we have a political action committee, which we use to support candidates that support issues important to eBay and our seller community.
So I think we're way past any expectations for returning to normal, but we're going to see a continued surge in e-commerce and how consumers are shopping differently, especially as we head into the holidays.
One of the stories we tell is that I used to take him on vacations. In the middle of vacations, wherever we'd go, I'd say, it's time to find the flea market. He'd be like, why are we finding a flea market? I said, because eBay paid for this trip.
I'm Brian Burke.
And I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and the inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 110. Good day, Brian.
Hello, Griff. How are you this Friday? Well, actually, people don't know it's Friday, do they?
Yeah, they know we're recording it, so you can say it's Friday. I mean, it's obviously not live.
That is true.
So, yeah, it's Friday. It's the day before the weekend. This podcast goes out the following Tuesday, for those of you who are interested. Although it's a very busy day for you today, isn't it?
It is a busy day, and my hope is the listeners next Tuesday will have experienced the celebration this Friday afternoon, celebrating eBay's 25th anniversary.
Yeah, that starts in under an hour.
Yes. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I'm going to try to make an appearance, but Friday is all day editing day for me to get the show ready. So I don't know how much time I can spend, but we'll see.
An eBay event without Griff would just not be an eBay event. So yeah, I hope you make it.
You know that someday there's going to not be a Griff and the eBay events have to go on. So there, this, well, it's good practice. Well,
that's for years and years from now.
And I meant retirement.
You can't retire.
Yeah, apparently that's true. I'm going to have to stay in good shape so I can continue working. Well, look, anyway, we have a lineup that's all lined up for this week's lineup. So shall we talk about it?
We should. First, we're going to talk with Kathy Foster from the eBay Government Relations team. Kathy will share what the team is doing to help get out the vote.
And from our soft goods team, Audrey Zwibbleman will tell us what her team has determined will be the hot items that sellers, that means you, should be sourcing for the holiday shopping season.
Then you'll be talking with this week's sellers, whose story was selected for the 25 Years of eBay series, Craig Dawson and Rick Bellinger.
And of course, you and I, Brian, will answer questions that were sent in to podcast@ebay.com. Now, no more idle chatter. We have a show to do. Let's get started. Today, I'm joined by Kathy Foster, the Vice President of Global Government Relations at eBay. With the 2020 presidential election fast approaching, we wanted to ask Kathy for her take on the political landscape. Kathy's going to also share some information about the tools eBay provides to help you with all your voter registration and voting needs. Welcome, Kathy.
Thanks, Griff. It's great to be back with you today.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to our friends in government relations. I feel we don't talk enough, but this hopefully will make up for it. Now, to start, can you give us a quick overview of the current U.S. political landscape?
Sure, happy to. And it's been quite a year. It'll probably come as no surprise, but recent polling is showing that most likely it's going to be a very close presidential race, making it really tough to handicap. It's a very polarized election, and likely a few battleground states will determine the outcome. But I'd also like to remind everyone that although the presidential election is dominating the news today, the 2020 election is about more than the presidency. In addition to the presidential election, this year, Americans will elect 435 members of the House, 35 senators, 11 governors, and thousands of state and local officials. All of these elected officials have an impact on the policies that affect us both personally and professionally. So it's really imperative that we all participate in the democratic process and make our voices heard. So I encourage everybody to register to vote and to vote this election.
What is eBay's stance when it comes to voting?
So eBay recognizes that the right to vote is one of the most important rights we have as American citizens. So it's important that we all take part in the democratic process. For example, it was reported in 2016 election that 138 million Americans voted. While that might sound like a lot, it was only about 58% of the voting eligible population. It's critical that people get engaged and take part in the process. It's so important to have your voice heard.
Kathy, does eBay endorse candidates? I know some companies do.
Actually, eBay does not endorse any specific candidates or political parties. We really focus on policy issues rather than politics as a company. But like most companies, we have a political action committee, which we use to support candidates that support issues important to eBay and our seller community. Issues that many of the sellers are familiar with, such as trade and making sure we have a viable postal system. At the end of the day, voting is a personal choice, and we respect everybody's right to vote for who they view as the best candidate for the position.
Does eBay offer any voting resources for our customers?
Yes, and I'm really excited. This year, we recently invested in an entirely new voting resource that we call the eBay Civic Action Tool, and it's located on the eBay Main Street website. This tool is great. It offers information about U.S. candidates and elected officials, as well as voting and voter registration information for U.S. residents. It actually allows you to see if you're registered to vote, and if not, tells you how to do so. It also has a great localized voting information, such as the rules around absentee voting in your state or county. You can find this great tool by typing it into our Main Street website, www.ebaymainstreet.com/vote, into your web browser. And I highly recommend you check it out.
Kathy, it's so important that people at least be informed and take part in our civic duty to vote. So I really thank you and the GR team for everything you do on behalf of sellers when it comes to providing that information that they can use to help them make an informed decision when they're voting either at the location or by absentee ballot. So thank you so much to you and your team for providing
this information. Thanks, Griff. It's just a pleasure. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak to our seller community and just make sure everybody goes out to register to vote.
Kathy Foster is the Vice President of Global Government Relations here at eBay. I will put the link to the Main Street webpage in our transcript. It is www.ebaymainstreet.com/vote. Make sure you do. As part of our holiday listing month this week, we're focusing on some inventory ideas for sourcing in the holidays. We're way past the time that the big retailers source their 2020 holiday inventory, but that doesn't mean that you, the nimble and quick to execute eBay seller, can't source inventory for the shopping season right now. And that's what sets you apart from the big slow-to-move retail businesses. So pat yourself on the back. And to uncover just what will be the hottest of the hot inventory for this year's unusual holiday shopping season, we have with us now from eBay's verticals team, Audrey Zwibbleman. Welcome, Audrey.
Thanks, Griff. Great to be here.
Audrey, you're the lead of our soft goods team, and I want to let our listener know that that covers art, collectibles, fashion, media, lifestyle, and toys. And we're here to talk about how your team tackles inventory planning and your predictions for the holidays. But before we kick off, what's the latest in e-commerce returning to normal?
Yeah, great question, Griff. I think we're way past any expectations for returning to normal, but we're going to see a continued surge in e-commerce and how consumers are shopping differently, especially as we head into the holidays. Kantar has said that more than half of millennials and Gen Z consumers say their lockdown habits would continue. So I think we can expect to see that go on for longer. And then every month on eBay, we have 104 million hours of shopping across 108 million unique monthly shopping journeys and more than 1.5 billion listings.
Thanks for reminding me how big our store is.
So big.
Yeah. What about inventory for holidays 2020? What are some of the must-have items across your categories and what should sellers be thinking about right now?
I think the most important thing for our sellers is to plan early and think differently. Think staying at home, less travel, shipping earlier, home decor, and first-time holiday hosts are going to be top of mind. And today's buyers are also increasingly value-based and conscious. Secondhand doesn't have the stigma that it once had, and savvy shoppers that we have on the platform shop secondhand or like new refurbished.
That's good to know.
It's great. And in terms of what's in demand in our world, there's a couple categories that I'd love to share with the group here. I think first and foremost, holiday wouldn't be holiday without toys. As kids are more homebound now than ever, and a big part of their day is play, as well as our big collector base, that means games, toys, and even media are important. So look for the old favorites like building toys, think Lego, as well as action figures and Funko. And really anything Disney is going to be key, as well as new releases in Harry Potter, Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and really anything DC Comics as well.
Yeah, those are hotter than ever. They're staying home. You got to have something to do. What's the next category?
Absolutely. The next step I would say would be fashion. Like our younger consumers, adults are spending more and more time at home as well this year. And it's really all about self-pampering. Think warm, comfy, and cozy. Slippers and PJs for the family. Luxury fragrances and handbags make great gifts, especially used in vintage bags. And vintage jewelry pieces from brands such as Tiffany and Cartier.
Yeah, just because you're at home doesn't mean you have to be a frump. You can still dress up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with all that home and leisure time, there's also heightened interest in all things music. So that means vinyl records, limited edition and box sets for collectors new and old, as well as musical instruments, guitars, keyboards, and drums, especially for beginners, makes a great gift.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Don't forget, we're in the middle of all of the seasons. And even though arenas and sports venues are closed to the public, sports fans still want to express their fandom and enjoy their favorites from home. That's increased our interest in fan apparel. Think NFL and NBA jerseys, MLB hats, really any memorabilia or apparel that bears the names of their big favorite players. So LeBron James, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, just to name a few.
Yeah. What about electronics? That's always big, isn't it?
Yeah. We would be remiss if we didn't mention electronics as part of holiday. There's new releases of some popular must-haves this season, and there's bound to be scarcity given the popularity of these new products. The leader of the pack, clearly the new PS5. If you can get one or more now, do so. And the frenzy around a new release like the PS5 raises the tide for all video games and consoles as gamers look to upgrade their favorite consoles. The same is also true with iPhones and tablets, such as the new Apple releases, the new Series 6 Watch, the iPhones 11 and 12, and really all things Apple should be in short supply. AirPods, iPhones 8 and 9 and 10, for example, and source whatever you can as soon as you're able.
Yeah, Apple's always hot. But of course, if there's a new phone or a new watch coming out, everything in that category just goes on fire. And all of these suggestions for industry are, I want to remind our listener, are based on what your team is predicting through copious research, of course. I want to say this isn't a guessing game, about what will be the most popular items in the coming months of the holiday shopping season.
That's exactly right. We've spent a lot of time looking at trends, what we know is really tracking with consumers now, and also what we know is going to be really important as we head into this holiday season, which, as I mentioned, is happening earlier this year. Everyone wants to be prepared with those gifts early.
Well, that's some great insights. That's really excellent. That was the what is going to be hot. But what about the how? Can you share some practical tips with us that can help us source inventory, like any tricks of the trade, for example?
You're going to want to be selling the right things at the right time in order to maximize profit. The first step is to assess your existing inventory. Look at your sales reports and use this info to determine if you should grow your existing inventory, get rid of any inventory, or expand into new inventory. Some things you can ask yourselves are, what are my sales goals? What products are helping me reach those goals? Where do I see room to grow? And should I discontinue any items?
Don't spend a lot of time listing items that aren't selling.
100%. Yeah. And, you know, I think as a secondary step, you should really consider growing your existing inventory. So as you think about that as a possibility, consider the following thing. How much room do you actually have to store that increased inventory? Do you have the capacity to fulfill a greater volume of orders as the orders start piling in for holiday?
Yeah. If you're a one-person operation, this is a big concern. So you don't want to overdo it so that you can't fulfill orders.
You're absolutely right. You don't want to take this lightly. You know, if you need to make operational changes in order to fulfill more orders, make sure that's something you're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Can you source the inventory at a lower price if you bought in larger quantities? Obviously, that makes it more profitable for the seller. And how much capital are you willing to invest in sourcing this inventory?
It's going to cost you money, so you want to plan for that in advance. That's an excellent consideration. What's the next tip?
The next tip for me, I think, is to really think about expanding into new inventories. Obviously, we've shared earlier today in our conversation some things that we think will be hot for the season. In addition, there's two free tools that eBay provides that will help you explore what's hot and what you could consider sourcing. So the first is our sourcing guidance tool. And this tool provides an aggregated sales information from the last 5 years on eBay which provides suggestions on high opportunity products to sell in different categories. The second is Terapeak. And you can use Terapeak to analyze trends in prices, sales volumes, and product availability on eBay over the past 12 months. By analyzing this data, you can plan for your inventory and your pricing structure, better understand changes in supply and demand as things fluctuate, and identify the sales volumes that you can expect.
We love Terapeak.
It's a great tool. And one last thing, if you do decide to expand into new inventory, really think about asking yourself, will these items complement my brand? So the brand I've already established and worked so hard to establish on eBay. Can I source these items inexpensively from suppliers I already have relationships with? So you're not having to go out and build new relationships. And what would it take to build a relationship with a new supplier to source this inventory? I think that's really critical as well, because those will involve a heavy lift. And if you can do it more easily, so much the better.
So that's a great list of both what's going to be hot and how to find these items and what to consider when you're putting up new inventory. Audrey, I want to thank you. This is really a lot of great information.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me, and happy holiday season to all our sellers.
And happy holiday season to you. Audrey Zwibbleman is the lead for soft goods on our eBay's vertical team. Remember, as always, you can find links to the tools and other information mentioned in this segment in our episode transcript, which you can reach, as always, at www.ebay.com/podcast and clicking on the link for episode 110. Every week we feature one of the 25 sellers whose stories were selected for the 25 Years of eBay series, and this week's sellers are no stranger to the podcast. Craig Dawson and Rick Bellanger sell under the user ID 2DogsDigs. That's 2, the number 2, and then Dogs Digs. And they have a very entertaining presence on YouTube, and I also believe Facebook, and we'll find out more about that in a moment. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, Griff.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast this week.
Thanks for having us here.
For people who don't know you, where are you located?
We're located in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Born and raised with me, and Rick is originally from Calgary.
How long have you two been selling on eBay?
We've been actually selling on eBay for almost 25 years. We started in 1996.
Well, congratulations. What is it that you guys sell?
Our focus for the longest period of time, and still to a large degree, is collectibles and pop culture. So a lot of things that are in the toy arena, movies, television memorabilia, Barbie doll, Strawberry Shortcake, G.I. Joe, action figures, James Bond, all that sort of stuff. And newer things, Pokemon, things along those lines, anything that's pop culture-y.
But that's your focus, but you'll sell just about anything.
Yeah, the other 20% is whatever we happen to find somewhere. For example, yesterday I was at a thrift store and found a set of 2 unused teeth whitening system poles, these stands that you could buy, and I looked them up to see how much they were listed for or selling for, and they were listing for $350 a piece. And the 2 of them were $15 each, and they were still brand new in their boxes. So now we're going to be trying to sell a teeth whitening system, and we have no idea how to do that. But yeah, we'll pick up anything from anywhere that we think has a potential for resale.
How has the pandemic affected your inventory sourcing, Rick?
He's laughing because we have a large profit pile. So we're sort of, in a nice way, quarters. We're always shopping. And about 3 years ago, we got a warehouse space to sort of spread into. And it was supposed to move all of the items out of our house into the warehouse space.
Did not happen.
Nothing moved out of our house. The warehouse space filled up. And so we've been lucky enough that over the course of the pandemic, we still had a large amount of profit piles. So I still have a full-time advertising agency business that I run on a daily basis. So over the pandemic, I've been able to dedicate more time, do more listings. We've sold a lot more in the pandemic. Our sales are up, like our Q2 versus last year versus this year. We're 275% higher this year than we were last year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's selling the things that we didn't expect to sell, but all of a sudden the pandemic was there. And even when we looked, Jordan put up lists of things that were, these are trending on eBay. And we're like, oh, look, Jordan says puzzles. It's like, ran through the house going, where's our death pile or our profit piles of puzzles? And threw puzzles on and then started selling puzzles for $60, $70, $80 that we had sitting around in our profit pile.
I know locally here in San Jose, the thrift stores are only now starting to reopen. What's it like there in Canada? And are you thinking about venturing out to source, or is there some hesitation? What's the strategy?
The thrift stores in Canada opened up about 2.5 to 3 months ago. So we actually have been thrifting usually once a week. Overall, our country's at a much lower level of COVID. Garage sales have been happening across the country. We have a Facebook group called Craft, which is the Canadian Resellers and Fantastic Thrifters group. We just hit over 2,000 members of that. About 80% of them are across Canada. And they're all telling us that they're going to garage sales and all their thrift stores are all open and everything like that. We still have that ability, but some of our larger things like flea market type things, those are not around. Those of us who used to cross the border, like ourselves, to go into upstate New York or Seattle to do thrifting down there and garage selling, we can't cross the border right now.
What other challenges have you had to face during the last 6 or 7 months that were unexpected?
Well, one of the challenges, and it's not actually the last 6 or 7 months, it's a challenge normally for those of us who ship in Canada. We have very high rates within the country using the Canada Post system. We are lucky enough in a lot of the major markets to have the access to a cross-border shipper. And what that cross-border shipper does is it literally drives across the border every single night and uses USPS for postage. We are finding the same potential issues in some cases for delays on shipping into the U.S. For us, as well as most of the people who sell on our in our craft groups and a lot of the people who watch us on YouTube, they're 90 to 95% of our sales for Two Dogs Digs are to the U.S. as customers. But we still are getting things to people within days. We've also seen some really interesting things. We sent some packages internationally. We sent a package to Malta. And after 2 months, we gave the guy that he bought on eBay, we gave him his money back. And 2 more months later, so 4.5 months or so after it arrived, and we got a wonderful email saying, your package finally arrived. How do I figure out a way to pay you now? There's a lot of great customers that are still out there that are, you can't fix UPS. And we just try and treat the customers the way we would like to hopefully be treated. And during COVID, we've had things that go missing and had repayments come in for them from people. We've had things that have gone missing and people have said, I'm sorry, this has gone missing. Is it all right if I ask for a refund? Like, yes, it is all right if you ask for a refund.
Yeah, I think you're overstating the volume of that.
Yeah, well, not, yes, we've had 10 or so.
Out of hundreds of transactions.
Yes, we're over 1,000 transactions since COVID.
For a lot of sellers, and I think it's eBay all day, all night, and you don't really have a life outside of eBay.
Well, we're 33 years together, 17 years married, so we've been together through all sorts of different things. In this particular case, we probably put about 30% of our time in on eBay. The other 70% is binge watching like The Boys that just came out on Amazon Prime or catching up on other things, looking at BBC, old BBC movies. Sometimes it's sorting, sometimes it's cleaning stuff. Most of the time it's just the two of us and we take care of our dog. And so we're spending our time relaxing and trying to keep the pressure and trying not to watch too much TV and get over involved. And then there's the time that we do spend probably about 10 or 20% of our week is on our craft group, running the Facebook group. And then our YouTube channel, we do a live show every Tuesday night from 8 until 9 called The Hall Pass, H-A-U-L, Hall Pass. Even stuff like that, sitting last night, we were like, okay, what's tomorrow's Hall Pass going to be? And we got to think about what we want to talk about for an hour live and how do we keep the people entertained and what new tips and tricks can we do? Last week, we ended up doing 4 YouTube shows in a row. The Monday show on Labor Day was a roundtable with 4 brand new people who've never sold on eBay. So we did a live show with them asking about what their fears were and seeing if we could help them alleviate those fears to list. Tuesday was our Hall Pass, which was generic Hall Pass, I think. Thrifted what we've been thrifting. Wednesday, we did a local pickup in an auction. We actually did the live auction ending live on screen so people could watch people bid for the last hour for this live pickup. And then Thursday, we spent an hour doing here's the eBay fall seller update. We went through it live with people on the Thursday night to go, what do you think about this? Here's what we think. This is great. We love this. We're not sure about what this means, and we like this. And which overall, we thought the fall seller update was excellent in 99% of the cases.
What are some of the stories that you hear from sellers that kind of shape the way you give advice?
I think one of the big ones is there's a lot of Facebook groups out there who don't necessarily take a positive role to resellers. I call it the Yelp review. And it's somebody who actually goes on and all they're going to do is scream about a buyer either ripping them off or eBay is doing this to me or anything along those lines. And when new sellers see that, they actually get a little bit nervous about that. It's like, oh, everybody out there is like that. So even in our craft group, we stole a line from Legally Blonde 2 is we have snap cup posts And L had the snap cup, and it was where you talk about something positive and you put it in a snap cup and you read it. So once a month, we have a snap cup post that says, tell us positive things that have happened, because it's always like that. As I say, the Yelp review, you read about a hotel you're going to stay at, and everybody's giving it one stars, and none of those stars seem to have anything to do with the hotel. But it's still like, yeah. I arrived at 4:30 in the morning and my baby was screaming and I couldn't find the food formula. So I asked my husband where it was. Nobody behind the desk even helped me. It's like, why would they help you find the baby food formula? Why is this getting a one star? Like things yeah. like that. So you read about that. I saw one last week. It was someone screaming about international shipping is horrible with somebody. And it was like, it was just a shipper. And I looked at all the reviews that they looked at and I went, none of these reviews actually say that there's a problem with the shipper. These are people who said, I'm in Moldavia and I was expecting to receive this from the US in one day. And it's like, in Moldavia? Like, what? Who told you that that's a reasonable amount of time? And now it's been 3 days. Okay, yeah, give them one star. That's one of the big things is telling people that.
We don't permit negativity in our group.
No.
If anything, we have to promote the positive.
25 yeah. years on eBay, we've sold well over 25,000 items. We probably can count on our hands the number of times we've had really sort of negative kind of experiences. So when you look at that, even saying something like that to a new person is hopefully giving them the impetus to say, well, wait, that's good. The other thing we hear a lot is new people going, I have zero feedback. Nobody's going to want to buy from me. It's like, well, first of all, everybody started with zero feedback. We started with zero feedback. And I hear this moniker that I really don't like, which is telling people to go out and buy stuff on eBay so you can cheap, so you can build your feedback up. And I explain to people, you do understand that that is buyer feedback. And if somebody is intently going to look and see that that person has a 5 feedback number, they are also going to see that those 5 came from buys, not a sale. So that doesn't help them in any way, shape, or form. And only about 20% of the people actually give you feedback. Just throw that whole idea out. The idea is if you have something that somebody wants and you're brand new, take a look at things. Think about a competitive price. Make sure you've got the stuff ready to pack it, that you weighed it properly so you don't rip yourself off from shipping. Make sure it's an item that's wanted. If you're going to sell some Calvin Klein socks, and there's 20,000 pairs of Calvin Klein socks right now on eBay, maybe putting your pair up for $19 is not going to do it at your first sale to kick it through. But if you happen to have a vintage Barbie doll or an old Super Mario toy or something that people want, that there's limited amounts of ability, collectability to, or it's a cell phone or technology that people want, put that at a good price, and that's where you're going to build your feedback.
Do you find that a lot of sellers, especially new sellers, are like most human beings and they're risk averse?
Yes. 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 Yes.
I don't know if it's risk averse as much as they all seem to say, there's way too many things I'm afraid of. And most of it is things like, I don't know how to ship.
Yeah.
I've never done this before. And that's, I think, where we always try and tell people, start with what you have. Don't invest money in things when you've got clothing you don't want to wear anymore. Therefore, it's money spent. So you have no money in it. You wore it. It's gone. Now try and say you don't need those 10 watches. Maybe put one of them on eBay.
Start with what you know.
Start with what you know. Don't start reaching out to, oh, I hear that video games do really well on eBay and you've never played one. Like me. I'm not good on video games. I know one or two that I have to look for. But other than that, I'm not going to try and sell them. The same with sneakers. Sneakers sell extremely well. I don't know about kicks or sneakers or what the kids say today. I'm not sure I'd be the right person to be saying, I need to find that item. Think about what, if you love comic books and you had your old comic books, you had hockey cards, you have records and CDs, you have import stuff that you have.
Running a business is never perfectly easy, and running a business with someone else can present its own challenges. What are the challenges for you two, if any? I know you get along pretty well, but
I think the biggest thing to look at is when you're running a business together is to try and establish what one person is good at versus what the other person is good at, and keep the communication there. Rick is really good in the case of trying to pull together receipts and reports and all that sort of stuff. I am not the person that does that. I am terrible with computers. We know that's what his strengths are. Mine are in eBay side of things. It's in research. It's in trying to figure out the pricing. It's in testing different ways for us to look at doing sales.
You give a lot of advice to sellers, I know. For someone who's listening to you for the first time on this podcast, what word of advice would you give them?
Oh, you're looking at me.
Yes, I'm looking at you.
ask questions. Try and find positive places to look at. The community is great. Look to YouTube. Look to the community boards on eBay, because there is questions and everything in there. And try, honestly, as best we can, try not to weigh down yourself in all the negativity. Even you'll see the negative gets yelled out the most. Let's make sure that we're not thinking that every time you see that, it's all of these people yelling. Nobody is yelling, I love eBay. Yeah. Nobody yells that over and over and over again. We do. And I think with ourselves, our Facebook group, there's a couple of other Facebook groups that are out there. There's a couple of other really great YouTube channels that are out there as well. And we call those out on our shows all the time and in our group. Say, look for these things, because this should be fun for you. If reselling isn't enjoyable, then it's not for you. If it's going to be all about the emotion that gets vested into something not arriving properly on time, and you start screaming and putting 80 hours into it, and then I ask you the question and you say, it was $4. I'm like, why did you spend that much time of your life on a $14 or $4 item? Why didn't you just say, oh, here, refund it, or never mind, forget about it, move on. Think about all the pauses you can get on it. We've taken trips. We've done so much stuff with the money that we've earned on eBay. One of the stories we tell is that I used to take him on vacations. In the middle of vacations, wherever we'd go, I'd say, it's time to find the flea market. He'd be like, why are we finding a flea market? I said, because eBay paid for this trip. So if eBay paid
to England,
birthday trip to England, even trips to Las Vegas, I'd be like, we're going to Las Vegas next week. And he goes, why? Because there's a toy show. We're going to Las Vegas because there's a toy show? It's like, well, we're going to go gamble, okay, but you're going to come to the toy show with me as well. And it's like, that, yeah, and that was before he got into it. And all he had to do was resell a few things that cost a couple of dollars, or a couple of hundred, or $1,000, which he did. And when he, all of a sudden he hit that, then it became, wait, the 20 some odd years that I've been helping Craig with photos, maybe there's something more to this. Like, because he feels ownership of the things he buys, including the clothing he has in tubs downstairs. At least I make him feel ownership of that.
I should have been keeping count how many times you're going to mention that bin of clothing he's not touching.
It's ongoing and never ending. Every time I go down the stairs, what about the clothing?
Okay.
I'm stubborn. So.
So Craig Dawson and Rick Bellinger, I want to thank you for joining us for this interview. And I really encourage people to check out their YouTube channel at Two Dogs Digs. And you can look them up on Facebook under the Craft Group. And if you search for Canadian resellers, you'll find that group on top. Craig and Rick, thanks again.
Thank you very much. And we're thrilled to be part of the celebrated mini stories.
We are.
Next week, we'll have another seller. So stay tuned. And again, thanks to both of you.
You have questions? Oya Gavalt, do we have answers?
How many did we get this week, Griff?
Well, we had 4 sent in, but we only have time this week for 2, so we'll save the others for next week.
Well, that's good. We're getting more questions.
Yeah, it is good. But these came in via the podcast@ebay.com mailbox. And the first one is a little complicated and a little long. So why don't you read it?
Sure. So here's number 1. Griff, I have a problem with a number of multi-quantity fixed price listings. The listings have the following characteristic: low purchase price, $1 to $5, lightweight, under 15 ounces. I offer calculated shipping in the following order: USPS, first class, parcel select, and priority mail. I frequently receive messages from potential buyers who want to purchase multiple quantities but see an absurdly high shipping charge. eBay shows buyers the cost for USPS first class, but because of the 16-ounce weight limit on first class, eBay assumes I will ship multiple packages. I don't know how many buyers I lost who didn't bother to contact me. A long time ago, eBay's policy was to remove first class as a shipping option when the total package weight exceeded 13 ounces. I can't find any way to do that. Do you have any suggestions on how I should list these types of items? I've emailed eBay about this problem a number of times, but nothing has happened. It's killing me when I have to pass up opportunities to purchase large quantities of items for pennies that retail for $5 or more that I would be happy to sell on eBay for 99 cents, but I can't find a way to actually sell them. I would appreciate any advice you can offer. Thanks, George Kufta from Illinois.
And his user ID is GeorgeK809. Well, George, that's a lot to ponder. Now, Brian, I did take a look at George's listings, and I think we may have some advice that can help him. So, George, there's 3 important points to keep in mind, I think, in this instance that's going to help you accomplish your multi-purchase goals with your buyers. Each one will help eliminate the need for a buyer to contact you and negotiate a discount prior to purchase, or even worse, that unknowable number of how many people just walked away. Having to have sellers contact you is a cumbersome way to do business online. Think about it. What other retailer provides a path for a buyer to negotiate a discount, or makes it really complicated on what discount they're going to get? By the proper use of the following three tools, George, you can provide discounts and avoid having to negotiate them prior to purchase. Now, the three tools or business strategies are free shipping. That's going to be really important. Promotions manager and volume pricing for multi-purchase discounts. These are two recent tools that you can use. Promotions manager for cross-listing discounts across different items, and volume pricing for in-listing discounts. And finally, strategic bundling. Let's talk about free shipping, and then I'm going to let Brian talk about the discount tools.
So one of the things to consider is, so the calculated shipping discount tool is outdated. Our recommendation is don't use it in this case. Instead, take shipping out of the equation by offering free shipping. And this is a best practice across the board. And do this on as many items as you can by factoring in the cost of shipping for a single item and offering it with free shipping.
Yeah, especially if your items, as he says, are all like $1 to $5 and they're all under 15 ounces. Yeah, it makes sense.
I think he should be able to do this relatively easily.
When it's used properly, offering free shipping, and again, when we say free shipping, that's the shipping cost bundled into the price of the item. It can not only result in more sales, but for multi-quantity listings, it can actually help your bottom line. I'm going to give you an example in a moment. Now, of course, you'll need to calculate exactly how much to fold into the item to cover the cost of shipping. And for small items, this should be pretty easy to do. For items that weigh more than a pound, it gets more complicated as the weight goes up. But the goal here is to cover as much of the shipping cost as you can that you shell out. If you lose a little on shipping in one transaction, you make it up in another. So more on that in a moment.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice. The other thing to consider, and this is the second point that Griff touched on, was multi-purchase discount. And so you can find this in the marketing tab within Seller Hub or Promotions Manager, but use the multi-purchase discount option provided in those locations for volume pricing. For items where you're unable to provide free shipping, use the shipping discount feature in Promotions Manager or in the marketing tab in Seller Hub. And you can customize what items are included in a discount promotion and how much of a discount you provide. For items where you can offer free shipping, use the volume pricing tool in the listing flow to offer discounts on price for multiple purchases. This is a really, really important feature for all sellers to be aware of. I mean, it's a great way to get additional purchases. So highly recommend you doing that. And then remember that this only works for multi-quantity fixed price listings where the items are identical.
And George, I have an example from my own inventory. Of course, I think I've sold out of these recently, but I did this last year around June and I did it again this year and did very well with this. IKEA comes out now for the second year in June with these rainbow IKEA bags for Pride Month. And I know they're going to be hot. Last year, they were very hot because they sold out. This year, it was most of the IKEA stores were closed. So you had to buy them online and IKEA then ran out again. So I bought a huge stock. I think I bought 300 of these. Figured out the price per bag, and then I offered them at a small markup because I knew I was going to do the volume. But I also offered if you bought one, you paid this price. If you bought two, you paid X price. And if you bought three or four or more, I forget which one, you paid this price. In all cases, of course, my margin gets slimmer, but I offered it for free shipping. And my goal was to get someone to buy at least 5 or 10, and in one case, 20 of these. Because 20 bags easily fit into a big envelope that I could send by priority, and it wasn't that expensive. And I ended up making money on the shipping. When you figure the shipping costs that I had bundled into the item, the buyer doesn't see that. When you take shipping out of the equation by using free shipping, it's no longer on their mind. All they're seeing is the price of the item. And all they know is that if I buy more of these, I still get free shipping and I pay less. I've already built the price in. And now I ended up selling, sometimes one or two. I think the most I sold was 25. Somebody bought 25 of them. And in the end, when I ran my numbers, I ended up making more money than I would have if people were buying these singly. It wasn't just accommodating the request for multi-quantity of one item. I was giving them an incentive to buy multi-quantity for their own benefit and also for mine. and it worked.
And the one caveat that I would add to that is if you have multiple items where you know, and they're not lightweight, this is one where applying the discounts really makes a difference, because if you're building in the cost and offering free shipping, if someone buys six items, they might go, whoa, that's too expensive because you've factored in the shipping cost across all six items. But that's where if you've got multi-purchase discount applied, they can still take advantage of it. You're going to lower their shipping costs. They're going to look at it positively, and you're going to stay price competitive.
Exactly. And then the final point in this was strategic bundling. And by that, that's a term I made up. And I would use this for my own example with the IKEA bags. Should I sell more? And next year I will. I actually held out some of the stock so I can sell it next year in case they don't run it. What you can do with strategic bundling is you may have some listings for separate items that you own, and your sales history, like mine for these IKEA bags, shows that they're often purchased together by a single buyer. And if you have multiple quantities of these items, like I did, you can continue offering them in separate listings, but consider making a new listing that has both items bundled as a lot at a price lower than purchasing the two items separately. This can work for identical items, but it also can, it's more practical for use based on your sales history and items that aren't identical, but people tend to buy together. Maybe it's a ratchet driver and and one of the little nuts that goes on the driver, using a mechanic tool, for example. So maybe someone just needs one of the nuts, but maybe someone needs the driver and the nuts. So you give them the option in different listings. And then that way, you don't have to even use the multiple quantity discount tools or volume. You can still use volume pricing. But you're providing the buyer an option to purchase two or more items together that your sales history shows that they tend to do. So again, taking out of the equation the need for the buyer to contact you either to negotiate a price or to complain about how much shipping is. Take shipping out of the equation. That is the way to get this to work for you. Now, George, I hope this tsunami of information has been somewhat of a help. For everyone, we'll put links to the features above in our transcript. The volume pricing tool is found on the Create Listing page for any multiple quantity listing fixed price item, which means if you put more than one in the quantity field when you're listing an item, the volume pricing tool option will show up. It won't be grayed out.
And Griff, before we move on to the next question, one other thing that I want to emphasize is, like, don't feel like you have to do this across all your inventory at one time. If you're unsure about any of these strategies, pick one or two of your listings and apply it and see how it goes and get comfortable with it. Don't feel like you have to spend the whole weekend updating every single one of your listings. Work your way into it. Griff, our next question is one I believe we may have covered before, but it bears repeating. It's about local pickup. And I love this new feature. Why don't you read it, Griff?
I'm happy to do so. Says, good morning, Griff. My boyfriend and I sell on eBay together, and we are in Miami. Every so often, we get customers who locally buy something from us. If we see that they are close enough to us, we'll hand deliver the item to that person. However, that means we've never shipped it. In the past, I've just marked it as shipped so it doesn't come up as an unshipped. And we don't upload a tracking number. We don't want our seller level to be negatively affected due to not uploading tracking numbers. Should we stop doing this altogether, even if there are scenarios where it's cheaper to hand deliver than to ship? How do we handle this on the eBay sides? Kind regards, Dan and Jan Company. Well, thanks, Dan and Jan. Brian?
In order for a seller to be covered for shipping on any sold item that a buyer picks up directly from the seller, that seller would need to include the local pickup option in their shipping policy for that item, either as one option along with other regular shipping options like USPS, FedEx, etc., or as the sole option.
Yeah, a sole option is what a lot of sellers offer when they have really large or heavy items that they're just not equipped or willing to crate and ship.
Dan and Jan, you'll need to create or edit an existing shipping policy in your list of business policies to add the option for local pickup. If you want it to be an additional option, consider editing a shipping policy to add local pickup. If you only want it to be used as a single option, because let's say you're selling a couch or something really big and it's only going to apply to those large items, create a new shipping policy that has only local pickup as the option.
We recently, Dan and Jan, introduced a new trust measure for items where a seller offers and a buyer selects local pickup as the delivery option. For those transactions, as you've noted, there's no shipping or tracking. But instead, now eBay will generate a QR code for the buyer to show to the seller when he or she picks up the item. The seller then scans that code. This scan confirms that a transfer of the goods has happened, and it protects both parties.
Yeah, I love that feature, and it's been highlighted by a local seller, Garb Safari, multiple times on his Instagram and elsewhere. And it's such a really convenient way for both buyer and seller.
Yeah, and something we didn't cover is Dan and Jan seem to be pretty okay with local pickup, having people meeting them to deliver, having them come to their place of business. There are sellers who aren't comfortable with that. It is a seller choice. If you're happy with accepting local pickup, continue to do so if it's working for you. Just make sure that you have that option available for the buyers to select.
Those were two great questions. And if you have questions or comments you want aired on the podcast, you can either call it in on our voice line at 888-723-4630. That's 888-723-4630.
And you can also email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. And now it's time for your weekly, daily, monthly podcast to-do list.
I don't know if I can get a weekly, daily, monthly all in one word. Check the eBay announcement board for up-to-date seller news, like the celebration we're having today. You can find the link for announcements at the bottom of most any eBay page.
Use a combination of free shipping, promotion manager, and volume pricing discounts and strategic bundling to make more sales without the hassle of pre-sale discount negotiations.
Check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, eBay's Alexis Gallivan will join us with news about the October holiday marketing month kickoff, and of course, we'll have another eBay seller story.
And we'd like to again thank our guests this week, Vice President of Global Government Relations at eBay, Kathy Foster, Audrey Zwillen from the eBay Softgoods team, and eBay sellers Craig Dawson and Rick Bellinger.
And the eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.